the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Merry Christmas. It's good that it's finally here, right? But let me back up a second. So I just want to know, how long have you been preparing for Christmas? You know, you have the shopping, you have the packing, you have the shipping, you have the baking, you have the cooking, you have the ordering of the special Christmas shoes. That's very important to some of us around here. We have calendaring. I mean, there is a lot of preparing that we do. And so every year after Halloween, we begin this tug of war. Do I start now? Is it too early? I mean, really, it's too early, isn't it? Well, I think I can wait until after Thanksgiving, but maybe if I just pick up this one thing. But I don't know, maybe you're one of those who just waits until December 23rd or 24th rolls around and you stroll out to the mall at 8 a.m. to get ready. But we have a lot of building up to getting ready. It's almost this frenzy. And so I want to pause for a moment. And I want to review just how we've been preparing. We as Christians have been preparing for this very night. So in our tradition, we prepare by telling the story. And we actually started telling our story 4.5 weeks ago, starting the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And the Sunday after Thanksgiving was our first Sunday of Advent. And so we lit, acolyte skills are gone. Okay, here we go. So we lit the first candle, the first week of Advent, and we told the story of our ancestors, of Abraham and of Sarah. Sarah, who was old and was told she would never have a child, and yet God said, this will happen. Abraham, who was told to sacrifice that child, and at the last minute, God saved him. Abraham and Sarah, who the covenant with God started with. And then we came back, and the following week, we lit a second candle. Notice I'm not making you do a pop quiz of what these are for, right? I'm handing you the answers. And the second candle, we told of the prophets, of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah, all of the prophets who told about the coming of the Messiah. Just like we heard tonight, Isaiah talking about a light that would shine in the darkness. And so we told the story of the prophets and of waiting for the Messiah. In the third week, we get to our friend John the Baptist. And we like him, especially out here at the beach, because he's kind of wild and woolly. He doesn't dress like everybody else. And John, he's a little bit excited, and he runs around telling everybody, prepare the way of the Lord. He tells us we have to, that's quite the candle for John the Baptist. Feel free, Altar Guild, if you want to step in at some point. Oh, we're good now. Whew, that was exciting. For those of you in the back, we had a little torch going on here. But John the Baptist came and started telling people, prepare the way of the Lord. And he actually went so far as to tell everyone they needed to repent, that what they were doing was wrong, and one that was greater than him would come after him, and that was the person we were to follow. And you would think that Jesus would come after that, but no, Mary was last week, just last Sunday. And we heard Mary's song, the Magnificat, because Gabriel comes and visits Mary and says, you're going to have a child. And Mary says, well? And then she says, yes. And then the angel, because he's actually a decent kind of angel guy, says, and by the way, your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. And go and see her. And Mary and Elizabeth talk with one another about these unexpected children that they are bearing. And Mary exclaims in delight, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And so we have all of these people, Abraham and Sarah and prophets and John and Mary, all preparing for this very night in which we light the Christ candle in the middle. and not set anything on fire in the meantime. And so we tell our story week by week leading up to this night, because it's important, and we tell it a chapter at a time or a candle at a time, because each week we get one more ray of light to remind us that what we are to be preparing for is the light coming into the world. And I think that even those of us who are bah humbug, Grinch, don't like Christmas, not doing any of it, you still have prepared to get here this evening. Even if it's just getting dressed in whatever you're wearing and letting your family drag you to church. But hopefully there's been a little bit more than that. But I also question, what have we really been preparing for? A beautiful tree? Presents? Time with family and friends? Have we been preparing for the one time of the year we sing our favorite hymns? Now we know it's like one of those quizzes that you take. We know what the right answer is. We know that who we've been preparing for is Jesus. And that's great that we can say that, but what does that mean? You know, we hear this phrase, prepare a place in your heart or prepare a place in your home for the birth of the Christ child, and that's great, and I agree with that, but what does that mean other than, hey, I'm Christian. I like Jesus. And so, in the middle of our hustling and our bustling and our checking off lists and our making calls and our returning emails and our attending parties and preparing, if we stop and think about it, in fact, if we go back 2,000 years ago to that very first Christmas, no one had done a single thing. No one had prepared. No one had bought presents. No one had decorated. Think about this. Mary, she wasn't prepared at all. She didn't ask for this gift. She was just minding her own business when Gabriel showed up. She had not performed any pious acts or praying. She did not have any exemplary education. God just showed up and told her the plan. And suddenly there she was with a husband and a baby in a stable in a town that wasn't her own. And think about the shepherds who we heard about tonight. They certainly hadn't done any preparing because they were just hanging out in the fields because, well, that's what shepherds do. They do that every day and every night for as long as they can remember. They take care of sheep. And one day could easily be the same as the next. And so while they were in the fields, as they always are, angels just showed up. And the glory of the Lord shone around, and the angels told them that the Messiah for whom they were waiting had been born. And off the shepherds went. They didn't prepare anything to take with them. There were no gifts. I doubt there were speeches. They just went. And quite frankly, as a balance to everything that we do, I appreciate the fact that Mary and Joseph and shepherds, and quite frankly, just about the whole world, was not prepared for the birth of the Messiah. Now, while they were waiting for the Messiah, they did want it to happen, but they weren't prepared. No one knew that this night would be the night. And quite frankly, I think if they had known it and they had prepared, it would have ruined everything. So I think of Jesus, you know, the most blinged out newborn you have ever seen. It would undo everything. And yet, unprepared in a stable, unprepared for angels, unprepared for the King of Kings, and yet Jesus came all the same. Jesus came to us. And us, those of us gathered here, we've come to celebrate that very birth, prepared or not. And so as I began to think about this and ponder this in my own heart, I thought maybe we actually aren't supposed to be so prepared. Maybe we're just supposed to pay attention like Mary did, like the shepherds did, like the angels did, like Joseph did. Maybe as we celebrate the birth of Jesus this very night, it isn't about all that we've done to get to this moment, but rather it's to pay attention right now. Pay attention at this very moment. As it is you and I who have actually been given the gift. And there is nothing that we could do to prepare for what we have been given. You see, we've been given the true gift, the gift of Emmanuel, of God with us, the light that was coming into the world, who was the light of the world, and prepared or not, Jesus is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, here. Emmanuel, here in the quiet of our silent night, in the lighting of our candles, in the big, joyful exploding of joy to the world, God is here. And what are we to do with this gift of Emmanuel? You know, we know what to do with all the other gifts that we have been given or are giving tomorrow morning, but what are we to do with a Christ child as unprepared as we are? And I think that's where we take our cue from the shepherds. The shepherds, they heard the news, they came, they saw the babe, and then they went out glorifying and praising God. These men who spent their days in the fields are now filled with such love and such thanksgiving that they go out glorifying and praising God. How easy it seems and how easy it can be. We praise God for the gift of the one who loves us, no matter where we find ourselves on this night. We praise God through the songs that we sing, even if we are off key, or we hit a little extra note. We praise God for the ability, I mean, this really is pretty incredible, the ability to gather together on this night and to share a holy meal at our altar that is given for all of us. A holy meal on a holy night. We can praise God because we have the ability to help those who are in need, and I pray, and I hope you do, that we may actually do something about that. Praise God that we can help others. Praise God that we have been given the good news, that we are actually here to hear it, and give us courage to share that good news with others, not in our words, but through our actions. Praise God. We are to praise God because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to us, each and every one of us, to be the light in our world. Praise God now and always, for the gift of Christ has been born again. Amen.